be patient and recognize that as soon as you start to live off of your properties and the income from your properties, you're going to dramatically slow your growth compared to if there's any way you can commit to setting those funds aside, keeping that real estate income separate and reinvesting it back into your properties or buying more properties. Because the day you walk away from that job, now all of a sudden your properties need to feed you and your family, and you're pulling all that cash out. And if you invest that money wisely into more properties and improvements in your properties, you can see exponential returns on those investments. So every dollar you take out right now to pay yourself is 10 less dollars you're going to have, you know, 5 years down the road. So first is to be careful about that. And the second would be learn as much as you can. Now, and this is a fine line that people have to walk. You need to be self-aware and recognize that you don't know everything. You can't do everything, but you also should try to do some things yourself so that you can learn and be, you know, a more informed and savvy investor down the road.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know. Share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to Weiss Advice. I am your host, as always, Yona Weiss, and it gives me great pleasure to be joined by Brian Murray today. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
I'm so grateful that you're taking the time to join us here today. Just a little bit about Brian, so you guys have a context. If you've never heard of him before, you don't know who he is. He's a big player in the real estate industry, okay? Check him out. Go on LinkedIn or Facebook, whatever. You'll find he's the CEO of Washington Street Properties, okay? It's a commercial real estate investing company. He's got an amazing story of how he first acquired his real estate, you know, dating back to 2007, and how he's really built that company and others. So he's not only been listed on the Inc. 500 and 5,000 list for 5 years running, he's also the co-founder and asset manager for Open Door Capital, which was founded by Brandon Turner, Beardy Brandon. You guys remember him from episode, I think, 35 or something like that. Anyways, they're buying mobile home communities and really building an empire. And it's really great to have you here, Brian. A little bit, you don't know this, maybe you don't know this, but I actually, one of the first books that I ever picked up in real estate was a book written by Brian called Crushing It in Apartments and Commercial Real Estate. And to this day is still my favorite book in the subject. And I always recommend it when people are like, what book should I read on, you know, on real estate investing or commercial real estate? So that's always the one. So thank you again for that. It's helped me tremendously in the early years.
Oh, that's awesome. I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me. So I'm glad you found it useful.
Oh, likewise. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one. There are probably hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people that have really found it extremely useful. And now you're working on a new book, co-authoring together with Brandon Turner. What's that book about? You want to touch on for a second?
Yeah, sure. So we Brandon and I both recognize that, you know, there really wasn't a comprehensive resource out there for multifamily. And so, you know, Bigger Pockets wanted to put a book out there in that space as well. So we put our heads together and scoped out everything we felt that we'd want to share in the multifamily space. It's going to come out as a 2-volume set because there was so much material to cover. So the first volume is going to cover small multifamily, and the second volume is going to cover large multifamily. It's called The Multifamily Millionaire. And so hopefully we'll see that come to market probably in August, September timeframe. So fingers crossed that, you know, that'll be a resource available to help people out in the multifamily space before too long.
Awesome. Bigger Pockets puts out a tremendous amount of amazing content and material, especially in the book form lately. They've become like the preeminent real estate publisher.
Yeah, they've done so much in this space and helped so many people. So, you know, I'm glad to align myself with that and help them contribute to, you know, the resources they're putting out there. So excited to work with Brandon and Bigger Pockets as well.
Awesome. Yeah. What, tell me a little bit, if you don't mind, like going back a little down memory lane, and you had many, many different experiences through different types of properties. I mean, you've invested in not only multifamily, but retail, office, you know, other types of properties. What has been, you know, the most challenging property deal that you ever had to deal with?
Wow. I've had a lot of challenging properties, you know, especially early on in my investing career. You know, you end up at that point, I was really looking for deals, and I was ready to roll up my sleeves and get a little dirty and you know, do some hard work. So I would take on some pretty stressed properties and work to turn, create equity by turning them around. And so I took on one of them was chronicled in detail in my book Crushing It, which was called The Solar Building, which is a crime infested building that we ended up moving my offices right into the building and kind of battling with turning that property around. It really took us about a year to turn that property around. But, you know, that was sort of the way I kind of found my way in the real estate world and grew, was by taking on properties that other people didn't want to deal with and trying to set them right. And if you're willing to do that, you can make a lot of money. So, you know, and it feels good. Yeah. I always, you have to have that drive and that motivation. And we would always feel really proud of the work we did when we go into a property that's maybe, you know, a scourge on the community and like turn it into someplace nice for people to live. So challenging, but definitely rewarding.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Always the most challenging ones, you know, usually they're extreme examples of failures or they're a big learning experience, and hopefully they turn out to be very rewarding through that experience. What, you know, having built a company and, you know, now you're the CEO, are you still involved with like the day-to-day, or is it really more, you know, buying properties and you have people dealing with all those different aspects of running and managing properties?
Pretty much every year that's gone by, and possibly even every month, you know, going back almost 15 years now, when you're growing a company, your role just keeps evolving and changing as you grow. And so I definitely went through that. I mean, in the early years, I mean, I was out there before sunrise shoveling snow and, you know, opening my own buildings, and I didn't have an employee in the beginning. And so if as the company's grown, you continue to hand that stuff off and focus more on, you know, your evolving role as the leader of the organization. And so at this point, I do stay primarily focused on acquisitions, dispositions, kind of, you know, a more visionary role, but also I do still stay on top of property management issues. And, you know, I own a property management company at this point, and I've been blessed to have some great people working in that group probably my involvement is more annoying and unnecessary than it needs to be, because I'm really lucky. They do a great job. My wife is heavily involved in property management and really oversees that. And, you know, she's fantastic, and we've got a great group of people. So I feel like, especially as we've started to raise money and take investor money, that, you know, I need to keep a close eye on things and be aware of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I do still stay involved and give guidance where necessary and make sure things are moving in the right direction.
Right.
But it's a really solid team. So, you know, I don't have to do that much in that area anymore.
That's great. For maybe some of the people listening to this that are thinking about, maybe they have a property or two and they're kind of at the beginning and looking to grow and to scale. Obviously, that's something that you did, which was actually build a company and do it that way. What would you say like some of the first steps, if you can remember, that would be, you know, most successful for someone, you know, trying to transition from that, oh, I'm a real estate investor and, you know, doing this pretty much as a full-time gig per se. A lot of people, they're doing this full time, but they don't have an assistant. They don't have people working for them, and they want to really transition it into more of a real company or something that's going to grow?
Yeah, that's a great question, you know, and I get that a lot because that's one of the primary goals people have when they get into real estate. They maybe hate their job or they just want to, you know, be their own boss and do their own thing. And, you know, I would say that the first thing to do is just I just raise kind of a flag of caution and say, you know, don't leave that day job too quickly. Like, be patient and recognize that as soon as you start to live off of your properties and the income from your properties, you're going to dramatically slow your growth compared to if there's any way you can commit to setting those funds aside, keeping that real estate income separate and reinvesting it back into your properties or buying more properties. Because the day you walk away from that job, now all of a sudden your properties need to feed you and your family, and you're pulling all that cash out. And if you invest that money wisely into more properties and improvements in your properties, you can see exponential returns on those investments. So every dollar you take out right now to pay yourself is 10 less dollars you're going to have, you know, 5 years down the road. So first is to be careful about that. And the second would be learn as much as you can. Now, and this is a fine line that people have to walk. You need to be self-aware and recognize that you don't know everything. You can't do everything, but you also should try to do some things yourself so that you can learn and be, you know, a more informed and savvy investor down the road. Every task that you can manage to do yourself, you can save that money that then gets reinvested. And at the same time, you learn a lot. And those lessons can then help you even when you have a property manager down the road. So I do encourage people who can manage it. It all depends on your lifestyle and where you're at. But if there's any way in those early years you can do some of your own property management, you'll learn some very valuable lessons so that when you grow and you have more properties and maybe you start to rely on a third party, you can be more informed, you know what questions to ask, and you can speak intelligently to your property manager. And so in the beginning, like I mentioned, you know, shoveling snow, I mean, I did even some small construction of my own. I'm not particularly skilled, but there were certain things that I could do. And I tried to do as much of it as I could manage myself. And so as I grew, those lessons proved valuable. And you get a lot more respect from people that way too, if you can talk to a contractor and know what kind of questions to ask and maybe show some empathy and some experience that you know what they're dealing with.
Sure. And probably a lot less likely to get taken advantage of as well. Throw in there.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. From contractors are notoriously a little overbearing when it comes to taking advantage of the unknowing real estate investors. But no, I think that's incredible advice. Number one, I just want to reiterate that you shouldn't leave your job just because, right? As long as you can still leverage that. And I'm a big proponent of that as well. That's kind of where I'm in the situation I'm in. I love my job. I really enjoy it. I'm also investing on the side. I'm trying to grow that. And, hopefully maybe one day I might go more full-time into that. But at the same time, if you can take that money from your small and hopefully growing portfolio and reinvest that, that's going to exponentially, like you said, grow that business. So that's incredible advice. How about now? I mean, now that you're looking back on a career, I mean, you didn't start obviously in real estate. What were you doing before that?
So I've done a lot of different things. I actually initially went to school for engineering and worked as an engineer. Did that for about 5 years. I actually then quit my job and went into the Peace Corps for a couple of years. Came back, went to business school, did some management consulting, worked for a tech company, did that for about 5 years. And then I started, I left that and I started teaching. I was actually a professor in New York at a community college, teaching entrepreneurship and marketing. You know, that was a pretty big step back in salary for me. And with that much lower income, you know, that's actually what initially prompted me to start to find creative ways to generate more income. And that got me into real estate. I kept teaching for, I think, maybe another 8 years or so. I can't remember exactly how long, even after I started in the real estate. My business had over $2 million in revenue before I decided that it was time to make a choice. And I left the teaching and went full time in real estate.
Wow. I mean, that's quite a bit of, especially going back 15 years ago to think about that amount of revenue. And I understand now why you're so cautious when you're, giving that advice of people to take their time, because you would not have been able to grow that fast or that much had you gone full time sooner.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of the irony, is that, thinking back, what were my motivations when I first started? I wanted to make more money, and I was thinking, I can get in, I could buy these properties, and I can pay myself more and have more things that I want to have. But I was just so passionate about it and so committed to the success of my real estate ventures that I just found that I couldn't pull money out. I could see that every dime I pulled out would come, every dime I could keep in would come back so many times over in the future. And so in the early years, especially, I was pretty religious about not touching any of the money that came in through real estate.
Wow. Have you had any other experience in other types of investments, alternative investments, or, ordinary, just out of curiosity?
Over the years, I've tried my hand in other things and kind of failed. So I'm a horrible, I'm not good at saving money. I'm not good at investing money in other areas. I've tried the stock market, and I'm too hands-on. I watch too closely. I get nervous. I try to time things. And so real estate was just a perfect fit for me, because I have pretty good investing intuition. But the great thing about real estate is it's not that liquid. So if you wake up one morning and go, I'm having a bad day, I need to sell, well, it takes months and months and months to talk. And then you have that time to kind of talk some sense into yourself.
Right, exactly.
So, you can get down off the ledge and everything's good, and you're back at it. It's not as easy as just pressing a button, to sell a stock. So
right.
That's good. And I'm really, really, fanatical about making sure that every mortgage gets paid and every obligation gets met. So, when you're making that mortgage payment on an investment property, I look at the principal pay down in that mortgage payment as money in the bank, and it's equity that's going to come back to you at some point. So on that side of the equation, I watch that closely, probably more so than most other investors. Because even if you have a bad month in real estate, if you're paying down your mortgage, that's money in the bank that's going to come back to you. And you can remember that, hey, even if I have a cash flow break even month, if I'm paying that mortgage down, that's wealth that you're building that's going to come back to you. So I look at it as a forced savings plan. Mm. And the more properties that you accumulate, you're saving more and more. And that is a lot easier, I found, for me personally to do than trying to have the discipline of taking, your cash and setting it aside every month, because on top of that, it's paid by your tenants, basically. So
right.
nice to be, paying that down and building that over time. And it builds up to a lot more than what people realize as time goes by.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, equity is one of the biggest, factors in why real estate, tops any other type of investment, right? Because you have that principle, especially, with the proper financing, it's being done. Is that something that you would, recommend? I'll rephrase the question. Maybe my editors can take that out, but I'm just thinking about the actual principal pay down that you're discussing as a strategy. Is that something that, when you have very high cash flowing properties, you are looking to invest more into that, meaning to pay more of the principal down or over time, or just you stick to the schedule of amortization that, the banks give?
I prefer to stick to the schedule. So I don't go and make excess contributions to pay down equity. And the reason I don't do that is, generally, as long as I take that money and reinvest it back into more real estate, I can earn a better return than reducing, you know, in effect, reducing the amount of interest that I'm paying by paying down principal.
Right.
You know, it is a balance, but, you know, I do have a great appreciation for principal pay down because I think that it's sort of looked at more as a side benefit, but as you build a portfolio, it's a lot more than that. But I also don't look at it as my primary goal. And so I don't, you know, and there's a lot of people that do maybe shorter amortization periods because they want to, say, be debt-free or pay that all the way down.
Right.
You know, a lot of people that come from the Dave Ramsey school of thought. And in terms of wealth building, you could do a lot more if you take on sensible debt.
Good. Yeah. That was the answer I was kind of fishing for. And I'm glad you brought that up because there are a lot of people that kind of come from that school of thought of Dave Ramsey that no debt is good debt. And obviously, you know better, and most people in real estate know better, that there's a huge difference between good debt and bad debt. And the debt that you can take for financing properties, take, you know, as much as is reasonable to be able to buy more. And the more you have, and I mentioned this a lot to my clients and stuff like that, that there's one thing, the tax benefits alone from the debt you get, meaning you get to take your depreciation based on the purchase price, even if it was fully financed, even if it was 80% financed. And so you get more tax benefits, just a kind of side note over there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I always cringe when people take, you know, they purposefully will borrow money over a shorter amortization period because they want to pay it down faster. But you have to be really careful about that, because what you're doing is you're locking in a high monthly payment that you need to hit no matter what.
Right.
So if you hit bad times and things go south, you lose some of that income and you're having trouble making your mortgage payment, you know, you're a lot closer to the precipice by shortening your amortization period. And so, you know, even if you're of the school of thought that that's a priority to you to pay it off quicker, I would rather do it voluntarily as extra payments, even though that might not be the maximum return, than to lock it in on a shorter amortization period.
Sure. Absolutely. That's great advice. Also, what about, and I'm just going to go kind of off on a limb here, kind of transition, because you went recently, and I mentioned before, you've done many different things in real estate over your career and have tackled many different properties. Recently, you guys started the mobile home community group, Open Door Capital, and you guys are focused on specifically targeting mobile home, although simultaneously, you still have Washington Street, which is, you know, targeting other types of asset classes. Why mobile home parks? I mean, what was the main focus there to move into that direction?
I feel really confident about the future of any kind of workforce housing. So whether that be, you know, C and B class apartment communities or mobile home park communities, you know, mobile home parks, you know, a couple of years ago when we were looking at this, just it really looked attractive in terms of what the potential returns could be. There's very little growth on the supply side in mobile home parks. In fact, it's just the reverse,
right?
Especially in the major metropolitan areas. People will try to empty out the mobile home parks because they feel there's a higher use by, you know, changing the land use. So, you know, it's one of the last areas in the United States where people can be affordable homeowners. And so we feel like there's going to be a sustained strong demand for that affordable housing. And, you know, it just looked like a great opportunity. And so we jumped in with both feet and we've been very happy with that.
Yeah. And, you know, I've seen the tremendous success that you guys have had. We discussed this before also with Ryan Murdoch. I think he was a guest also early on in the podcast. So thank you, you know, for that. I want to transition now to kind of the final segment of our show as we're coming to a close, which is the final four questions that I ask every guest. So first one for you, Brian, what is the worst job that you ever had?
So I've had a lot of bad jobs. So it's not as easy of a question as it might sound. Throughout high school and college, most of that time, I worked multiple jobs. College in particular, at any given point in time, I usually had at least two, sometimes three or even four jobs. And One of those jobs in college, I worked for UPS loading trucks. And I'd go late in the day. It was in the summertime. And in the back of a truck, loading packages, and usually it was over 100 degrees in there.
Right.
And within probably 3 weeks, I think I had sprained every finger on both hands, and I was wrapping every finger with tape to try to like not destroy my hands. And I think I must have lost about 15 pounds in a month, and you know, had trouble like holding a pen for a while after that. So
oh, man.
I did that for a few months, and it was probably the most backbreaking, brutal work that I've ever done. So yeah, wouldn't recommend that as a long-term job option unless you're a pretty tough individual.
Well, you know, come to think of it, I think, I don't know if you've discussed this before with Rod, but I think that was Rod Khalif also. He said, I think that was his answer. He worked for
UPS. Wow. I did not know that. That's
in
that's
high
crazy.
School or college. He worked, and that was his answer, I believe. I'm thinking now, I think it was like episode 4 on like wow. Right at the beginning of when we launched this last year. But if my memory serves me correctly, and it usually does, that you guys have one more thing in common.
Oh, that's crazy.
Question number 2, which is, what is a book that you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
So I read a lot of books, and you know, there's quite a few that have had an impact on me. You know, there's one particular that comes to mind with this question, and it's called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's All Small Stuff by Richard Carlson.
Yeah.
So
I remember that.
You know, when I read this, I put it next to my bed on my nightstand, and would pull it out and read some of the, it's got very short passages that are maybe a page or two throughout, and have kind of life lessons. And it's all about perspective and keeping, you know, keeping your values, and recognizing that some of these things that maybe we all find stressful every day maybe aren't as big of a deal as we sometimes let them be. And so I've turned back to that book many times, and I think it gives you a great perspective on things.
Awesome. Great. Awesome book. I appreciate that. That's one. I haven't heard that book in a long time. That was one that brings back good memories, though. So I appreciate you bringing that up. We'll put that in the show notes. Don't sweat the small stuff. Question number 3, what is a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
So one thing that I got to do with actually I was at the Maui Mastermind with Brandon Turner, is they took us one day, and we had a very brief introduction to surfing. And so I got on the board. I kind of made quite the fool of myself, but had a lot of fun. But now I really realize that I would really enjoy someday to like actually learn how to surf and do it in a way that didn't generate quite so much laughter from everybody around me.
You got to go back and visit, you know, more often.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a good skill to have for sure. A lot of fun. Question number 4, and our final question for you, Brian, is, what does success mean to you?
I've really appreciated just the freedom to make my own choices and do what I want to do. And, you know, I'm blessed to be at a point right now where, you know, I could financially walk away from everything and not work anymore, but I find joy in what I do. And I find particular joy in helping others to be successful in real estate. So I'm going to continue to invest time in writing books and doing speaking engagements and, you know, being on podcasts like I am right now with you, and trying to share what I've learned and give back and make as many other people, you know, give them the opportunity to be as successful as they choose to be in real estate, all the other great things in life that can come from that. So the more people I can reach and help along their path to financial freedom and generational wealth, you know, I find that really rewarding.
That's awesome. I'm so glad that you, you know, shared that. And that answer is, that's the best, because you really show that you know, you're doing it for the right reasons. Because like you said, you could walk away at any time, you'd be fine, right? You're financially free. A lot of people, they say the key to success is being financially free, right? Right? Freedom, you have that, right? But you're still giving back. You're still doing it. And I think kind of an example for others to see. So I appreciate that answer. And thank you for, you know, in this brief interview that we spent a little time together, appreciate you joining us and sharing all that you did.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today and with your listeners, and very grateful. So thank you very much.
Well, so where can our listeners find you or reach out to you if they choose to?
You can find me on the major social media platforms. I'm on Instagram. My handle is Crushing It Brian. So it's at Crushing It Brian. You can also find me on Facebook or on LinkedIn.
There you go. All right, Brian Murray, Crushing It in Apartments and Commercial Real Estate. It's been a pleasure. Thank you again. And I hope we can speak again soon.
Thank you, Yara.
And to all of our listeners, remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn, send me a DM, connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.